Now, I believe it's a bit of a misnomer that sometimes people sell up the family home because, they're in a big house, it's got four bedrooms, and they're the one rattling around in it by themselves. And it just makes sense to downsize. So, what advice have you got for us about downsizing our
Well, I
housing?
like to call it right sizing rather than downsizing. It's and
Okay.
that's a different, slightly different concept. It's not always, given that you're going to be doing it, it's probably going to be your last house or unit. You've got to do so, you've got to choose something that suits you, and that requires a little bit of time of reflection, I think. So if you happen to be a really keen gardener, it just isn't a good idea to think, oh, well, I'll have a two-bedroom unit, nice two-bedroom unit on the 10th floor, because it has a balcony, but it doesn't really allow you that enjoyment that you get from having a garden. It may not be really what you want. I'm a bit of an inveterate cat owner, I would not move somewhere that wouldn't allow me to have pets, because, and perhaps even a dog, because, that's how I like to live. And I would feel lonely without having my beasts of one sort or another around. So you have to think about what it is. It's not, and it's all, there are so many issues with this, really. Moving somewhere cheaper, into a unit, so from a house to a unit, normally the unit is cheaper. Sure, that's true. You probably want it in the same area because that's where your friends are, that's where possibly your family is, that's where where the shops and the hospitals, all that kind of thing is. So it might not actually be very much cheaper in the area that I live in. It's not particularly cheaper trying to buy a unit. It's also quite a lot of decluttering is required to do that, and we're not very good. Some of us who live in houses find that we have a lot of stuff that we have to get rid of. This is actually quite difficult. The number of people that I know who've done it and who still keep, storage containers full of stuff, and paying extra for that stuff that they never see, it's quite a difficult adjustment at times. So trying to find something that is kind of the right choice for you, it is really important. Some people actually do the complete opposite. They say, well, I want to buy a bigger house and I will rent some of it off. I will do Airbnb, or I will rent half the house to someone else and that will give me a bit of an income. So there are actually choices about that. And the other thing, of course, is the problem with strata complexes. Is that people who've never had to deal with other people in terms of maintenance suddenly find that they're being have to, having to pay strata levies. So we can go on about, the maintenance costs of running a house, and they can be considerable, but strata levies are also a considerable expense. As far as I can see in Sydney, the average, quarterly levy is something like $900 to $1,000 a quarter. Oh, it's not cheap. And then you have, depending on the building that you choose, you can certainly be paying a lot more than that. And you can also be paying for special levies, which can be considerable amounts. If you've got a lift in your building, you might have to replace the lift, which is a huge cost. So you've got these unexpected and uncontrollable expenses that you might be facing that are not easy to deal with if you are particularly on a fixed pension. That is actually very difficult to pay off. And the other thing, as also I've got some friends of mine who moved into a small complex, which they actually have a townhouse in, but they're suddenly discovering the strata committee. And if you've ever had anything to do with the strata committee, it's a whole new world out there. Having been on a strata committee, but also, it can be very, very fraught. So some people actually make another choice about this, and that's they say, well, even living in a strata block can be a rather lonely experience. You don't automatically get to know your neighbours, and you might in fact not want to know them. So an alternative that people think about is a retirement village. Now, this is actually an interesting thing. In Australia, around about 184,000 people live in just over 2,000 retirement villages, and that's all around Australia. Mm. And this figure is growing. It's not only because just the number of older people in our society are increasing, but because there's such a demand for retirement villages. Traditionally, I guess, they've always been, you know, in those beachy sort of areas, those sea change, tree change sort of areas, you know, where people are looking for, you know, fun in the sun kind of thing. And there's a lot of things that are very appealing about retirement villages. They actually offer a lifestyle option, which is far more than what you get in an apartment block. And I think that's an appealing thing. So the active lifestyle is one of those things. So they will offer golf classes, yoga classes, gyms, the swimming pools, that kind of thing. And a lot of people really like that idea. They also will often offer communal dining rooms. But the appeal for most people is in early retirement is that they have their own independent living spaces and they can have a reasonable space. If you're going to buy a strata unit in one of those retirement villages, they're probably 45 to 50% of a similar unit in the same area. And that's a great appeal. Let me just say that retirement villages are a bit fraught in one sense, because there are actually many different ways of getting into a retirement village, just not necessarily buying into it. You can lease a unit, you can have a unit on license. It depends on the particular unit. It depends often on the owner of the retirement village that very many cases, traditionally always was a charity and a religious aligned Catholic Care, Anglicares, all those people, Wesley villages. But increasingly there are many more commercial operators in this field.
Yeah.
And so you do need a bit of legal advice before you go into a retirement village, but it is an option that suits a lot of people. But the other thing that I think is really important to think about is when you leave the retirement village,
yes,
what are the options in terms of supported accommodation? Now, supported accommodation that, you know, you would traditionally call an aged care facility is something that is very important when you're anticipating going into a retirement village. So you really want a retirement village that has some sort of link to an aged care facility and gives you some priority in terms of going into it.
Mm.
Now, aged care is a whole different ballgame. I'm not going to be able to talk about that today because it's a big area.
But at my little venture into retirement villages, Alice revealed that certainly it was very affordable to buy into it, and it was a lovely lifestyle that was offered. But it's when you leave, I believe they vary quite a lot in how the sale of your particular unit within that village is managed.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
quite they're called exit fees, yeah. And there has been a lot of complaints about this, so they have actually tried to fix this to an extent. So there have been issues about who can sell, depending on how it's the terms of your particular agreement. Mm. And that's why I'm saying you absolutely need someone who specialises in this area. So, you know, who can sell it? So if it's only the owner of the retirement village who can sell it, they get the commission, they get to set the price. You may not have any control over it. If you have very long waiting periods before your unit gets sold, you might be a long time waiting for what you can get. There's also costs, you know, perhaps you'll be required to, you know, paint the unit, do some maintenance before you can sell it. It is a very complicated area. Let me just say that. As I say, there has been government concern. They have done some things to fix this a bit. But, you know, you really need some help with this. And in a way, I suppose you're not going to be concerned about it to the same extent, because if you're moving into an aged care facility, you know, there's not much you can do. But certainly family members will take a big interest in it, because there's a lot of money involved in that exit stage.
Mm.
You know, and people tend not to think about it.
Thank you so much. And next week we'll chat again about future-proofing your retirement, but we'll look more closely at the finances and also at the legal aspects. I know that it might seem as if we're going over familiar territory, but there is such a depth to it that it warrants another airing. So today we have just scratched the surface in learning more about transforming to retirement